Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Explain This. I'm with the star of the show, Robin Riddle. Robin, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Are you ready for today?
This is
going to be a fun episode.
It is.
Because I know you're passionate about this.
Yes.
And you're passionate about all things gut, all things integrative medicine, and this kind of falls right in line.
Yeah.
But real quick, because, you know, for the people who are new to Explain This, might not know your background, which will, you know, really, it'll like make perfect sense. But we're talking about functional fertility. Tell everybody kind of where you came from and why this is so important to you.
Yeah. So my background, when I got out of nursing school, I went straight into a job as an RN in labor and delivery. Mm. And that was my passion. I fell in love as a student. I did as many clinicals as I could in labor and delivery, newborn nursery. Absolutely love women's health. Did that for almost 10 years. Mm. So I was a labor and delivery, recovery and postpartum nurse, as well as newborn nursery. Also, yeah.
Can I ask you just one thing about it? Because literally, as you're talking, I'm like, huh, I wonder this. Was your passion for the mothers or the babies or both?
Both, but more mom.
Because that's what I heard.
Babies are a little scary after they come out.
But I heard that from you as you were talking. I was like, she's passionate about the mothers.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
We did the babies because it's part of it. Normal, healthy newborn care, love it. Mm. What would get scary is when they weren't normal, healthy newborns.
Yeah. Yeah,
And so I did, but I did do that part of it too. But that part wasn't my passion. You would never find me in a NICU. I loved taking care of the moms and supporting them through that whole process. So while I was a labor and delivery nurse, also went on to pursue my certification as a lactation counselor. Mm. So I worked a lot with breastfeeding moms. So again, supporting the moms through the whole process. That is the most impactful part of your life. You're always going to remember your pregnancy and your delivery and when your baby was little. And 9 times out of 10, moms tell me, you know, I remember my nurse's name. My doctor was there for 5 minutes. I have no idea who that was.
Yeah.
But my nurse was this person, and she did this, and she did this. And that's what was so awesome for me, is being able to be a part of such an impactful phase in someone's life.
And very important for the baby, too.
Absolutely.
Those moments are so vital to their health long term, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. Healthy mom, healthy baby.
Yeah.
Happy mom, happy baby. So that is where, now that I'm a nurse practitioner and I'm not at the bedside anymore, I always look for other ways that I can help to support moms. Mm. So coming into being a nurse practitioner, initially I started working in a clinic where we did a lot of hormone replacement therapy and functional medicine. Mm. Love that. I've spent the last 6 years expanding upon that. But now seeing such a need for fertility support, branching out even further. So over the years, I've definitely already been doing fertility support, but now I'm really getting very specific into it, where I'm actually like taking on patients who are struggling actively with infertility and seeing what we can do to help that.
It feels like a lot of it is education. Is that right?
A lot of it is.
Okay.
We're looking at things very, very differently. Mm. So, you know, if you're 24 years old and you don't want to get pregnant, you go to your doctor and you're like, hey, I don't want to get pregnant. And they're going to put you on a birth control pill.
Right.
That can alter your fertility for the rest of your life. So someone comes to me who's 24 and not ready to get pregnant. We're talking about other means for preventing pregnancy that are not going to have a massive impact on your lifelong fertility. You know, adolescence, this starts for girls in adolescence, looking at what's your 12-year-old eating? How is that going to affect her for the rest of her life? Mm. So there's just so many ways that this can go and so many ways that it can help support people. So I love it.
I'm kind of thinking that functional fertility is women's health for anyone before menopause or perimenopause.
Really?
Kind of.
Yeah.
You know, because you just mentioned, even if you're not trying to get pregnant, you got to go about it in a safe way and something that's not going to impact your ability to have kids later on or your own individual health.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super interesting.
So I love it because there's so many aspects to it that work. Mm. And now, you know, the most recent statistics show that 1 in 6 couples are struggling with infertility.
Yeah.
typically about once they actually start working it up, about 40% of the time, it's a female factor. About 40% of the time, it's a male factor. And about 20% of the time, it's diagnosed as an unknown cause.
Okay.
Just unknown infertility. That is a very frustrating diagnosis.
Right.
And so finding different ways to help people through that. Because undefined infertility just means that we haven't found the answer yet. I don't accept the answer of I don't know.
Right.
My thing is, we've just got to figure out what it is.
So functional fertility is a lot of what you're doing is dealing with infertility, or is it dealing with, you know, healthy pregnancy or healthy trying to get pregnant? Like, is that kind of the whole thing?
All of those things. Sadly, the patients that usually end up seeking out functional fertility are the ones that have exhausted everything else, and they're so frustrated with the system that they're like, I need to do something different. Mm. My goal is to educate people to the point that they realize that this is your first stop. Like, we need to be looking at functional fertility before you're ever trying to get pregnant.
Right.
Because what you're doing, you know, 10 years before you intend to get pregnant can affect those pregnancies. Mm. Like, we've got to set women up for the healthiest possible pregnancy versus catching it late in the game and being like, okay, let's see what we can do now. Like, I love to have time to work with people to build up to the best health before we're ever trying to get pregnant. Mm. That's the ideal situation. But yes, right now, a lot of the patients that I'm working with are the ones that have been trying. They feel like they're not getting good answers, or they're just not getting anywhere, and they're looking for something different that can help them.
Yeah, super fascinating, because there's, you know, people in totally different scenarios.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got one who might be thinking, oh, crap, like, am I too late? And then the other, you got to be super forward thinking.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you approach it completely different. You know, offering hope to both.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's my thing. I can't ever absolutely guarantee, if you've been struggling with infertility for 10 years, I can't say, I am your fix. We're absolutely 100% going to get this. But what I can tell you is that I'm going to work with you along the way and exhaust every possible option and look down every avenue, turn over every stone to see if there's anything different that we can do.
You know, functional medicine, I think of as like getting to the root cause,
absolutely,
getting to the why. Is functional fertility kind of the why and the root cause behind all things pregnancy, fertility, et cetera, women's health, I would say.
Well, and not to leave the men out, I mean, like I said, male factor infertility is 40% of the cases is on the guys. So I'm seeing and counseling with the males as well, the husbands, because that's a big factor in it. And I know a lot of times men just think like, oh, that's a women's job. Like, they've got to grow the baby. It's their responsibility. They can't get pregnant. It's their fault. Again, 40% of the time, it's on the men too.
Now, are you... say you're seeing somebody mm-hmm. who's trying to get pregnant. Are you seeing both the, you know, future mom and dad, or one at a time? Like, how does that work?
I want both from the get go.
Okay, so like two people in the room.
Yeah. Sometimes getting the husbands here is a little bit harder. Sometimes,
Come on, guys.
Step it up. It's not all her fault.
Come on.
You know, sometimes it's the wife first, kind of getting a feel for things, and then I give her the instructions to go take to the husband, and then after discussing things, the husband ends up back as well. But ideal situation would be, I've got a couple. Perfect situation really would be, I have a couple that intend to get pregnant within the next couple of years, and they want that preconception counseling. What can I be doing now so that we're both as healthy as possible leading into our future children?
Mm.
So years down the road is awesome. At least 6 months prior is going to give me time to really get things moving in the right direction.
And 6 months prior to trying.
To trying.
Okay.
Yes.
Man, that's wild. That's like a lot of, you know, prep. I mean, you got to be super... prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and again, because that's what's going to make the healthiest babies. The second that egg and sperm meet, DNA starts replicating, things are already happening. Mm-hmm. So by the time you end up to your OB at like your first visit, you know, on average, 11 to 12 weeks is the first visit. More and more people are now going by 6 to 8 weeks, but on average, still statistically, people are not getting there until they're almost out of their first trimester. Everything critical for the development of that baby has happened. The nervous system, the heart, like everything has already started developing. Golly. We find a problem at that point, like damage control, but I can't go back and fix what's already happened.
Right. You're almost like you're really relying just on chance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you counsel people in like how to deal with their OB, how to talk to their OB, how to find a good one? Because I know there's, like with anything, there's good and bad to any specialty.
Yeah.
You know, what's your counseling like with that?
Yeah, so I definitely do. You know, some OBs are extremely receptive to functional medicine and some are completely closed off.
Okay.
If I have people who are, as you would say, maybe more crunchy, like really want to keep things as natural as possible, I'm going to help get those patients set up more in a midwife situation. Because again, not to discriminate against OBGYNs, but they tend to be more allopathic. They are more like this is standard medicine, where midwives have been trained more along the lines of a functional approach, a more holistic approach to pregnancy.
Interesting.
But there are plenty of traditional OBs that do support this as well, or okay with it at least. They may not be like, oh yeah, I know exactly what supplement that is. That's a perfect one to be on. But they'll say, okay, well, you've been advised on this. You've been counseled on this. I don't know of anything negative with it, so that's okay.
How natural is functional fertility? Is it like, you know, kind of bare bones, all things natural? Because there's different ways.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're talking about the birth as well.
I can support through all. So in functional fertility, I like to start by addressing lifestyle and diet.
Okay.
So you come in, you're having trouble with infertility. It is a massive questionnaire that we're going to go through. I want to know your whole life story, what you've been doing in the last 6 months, especially what do you eat? How do you exercise? How much do you sleep? All those things, because all those play a critical part in fertility. I have a whole list of supplements that I really enjoy using with patients depending on what the situation is. So I like to stick more to that side of things, being as natural as possible.
Okay.
Using supplements, using foods, changing the diet, changing the lifestyle to help support. I am educated in the more traditional ways as well. So
right.
I know how to dose, Clomid or Letrozole if we want to try something like that. So I know the traditional approach. I'm educated in it. I know how it works. It's not the first thing I'm going to do.
Got it.
If you want that, you can go to any reproductive endocrinologist. They're going to, slap a standard care plan. Here you go. Go do this.
Mm.
I'm also, if patients are already on that route, I can help support things. So if patients are already pursuing IUIs or IVF, there's a lot of things that we can do to make the body more receptive and make that work better as well.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because there are so many different routes today.
There is.
And for a couple, for a woman or a male, like that's just it's a lot to go through.
And it's a lot.
A lot of decisions to make.
And it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
You can just be like, throw it out there like, hey, you can do this, 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 or this. And then it's like, well, I don't know which is best. So I love being kind of that helping hand through those things because I know both sides of it and being able to advise on a good stepwise approach to things.
I'm going to throw you off here.
Oh, no.
I know. and it might be a little controversial, but birth control, like what's your, how do you talk to people about it?
So I see both sides. My background was in women's health. I've prescribed birth control to plenty of people. I've put IUDs in people. Like I know both sides of it very well. Oral birth control is synthetic hormones. It is actually a carcinogen. I am not for it at all. I know the flip side of it. If you're, you've got a 16-year-old sitting in your office that's like, hey, I'm sexually active. I'm not reliable with like much of anything.
Right.
That's not going to track their cycles. That's not going to be good about using barrier methods. You've got to do what you can do to prevent a life-changing event for that person. So I get it. There are situations where if you need to be on birth control, like let's at least talk about ways to support the body the best that we can to do as little damage as possible. But in a, adult married couple where a pregnancy wouldn't be the end of the world, they're going to be reliable in the appropriate methods. I'm advising more on the natural family planning. And there's multiple different ways and different things that we can track to make sure that we are either getting pregnant when we want to or avoiding pregnancy when we don't want to.
Interesting. Yeah. I know that's it's a big topic and, one that, my age group, it was very, normal. And most anybody would go on, birth control
Absolutely.
At a certain age. And I wonder, are you seeing a lot of consequences of that or things that you're trying to reverse?
Absolutely. I mean, when you come off of birth control, we've got to fix your body after the fact. There's a lot of mineral depletions that happen. Things really can get very out of whack.
Mm.
So, of course, there's women that go off of birth control and they're able to get pregnant the next month.
Right.
Is that the healthiest pregnancy that they could have possibly had? Maybe not.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that we need to do to support if we have been on a birth control, support the body once we come off of it. Out of all of the potential ones, your IUD, why am I blanking on the name of it? The copper IUD. I'll think of the name when I'm not trying to. It's a non-hormonal. IUD.
Okay.
So out of all of them, if I've got someone that says I have to have something, that's probably the one that I'm going to advise, because at least it's not hormonal. It is still an irritant in the body. It can still cause issues, but at least we're not throwing synthetic hormones into the body as well.
You talked a little bit about kind of the post-birth process. A lot of postpartum depression. A lot of that, I know people get back on birth control after, you know, giving birth. What's your thoughts on kind of that those like 6 to 12 months after? Because that's a, you know, I've seen it. It's a lot. It's a huge change.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and with a woman, it's a huge change in their body. Like lots of, you know, hormone stuff happening.
Yeah.
Like,
when you actually like read and see all the shifts that happen at birth, it's miraculous. Like that's why I loved it so much. When you look at what shifts in the baby, I mean, a hole in their heart closes and their circulation reverses. Mm. Mom has had, you know, massive blood loss, of course. You're losing all this weight rapidly. Your hormones are changing rapidly. You're expected to deliver this baby, have no sleep, go home the next day and keep this little person alive. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the longest moms are going to stay in the hospital is 2 to 3 days. And that's after having a major abdominal surgery to do a C-section.
You're like, good luck.
Exactly. Exactly. The postpartum support for women is terrible.
Yeah.
And I really, that's another piece that I'm working on, kind of building a team. I want a team that I can refer people out to.
Yeah.
So I have my functional fertility team. I'm working on kind of that postpartum support team as well. So there's not a lot of support out there. If women are breastfeeding, they're not allowed to start like a traditional oral contraceptive. They can start something called the mini pill. But again, in that postpartum period, what I want to do is support their natural hormones to come back to where they should be. Mm. Support them, you know, through nutrition and through lifestyle and through supplements versus going back onto some sort of birth control or something like that.
Right.
You know, if you're postpartum and you're breastfeeding and you're not having super regular cycles, preventing the pregnancy gets a little bit more complicated. So we talk more about barrier methods or things like that. But again, I try to avoid those artificial hormones as much as we possibly can.
Yeah. It kind of seems like you leave the hospital and you immediately kind of go into fight or flight.
Yeah.
You know, and
figure it out.
You know, and that gets, you know, the baby, I'm sure, feels that in ways, and you know, not everyone has, you know, family around, and you know, it's just a wild time, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is, know? And like I said, there's just not the support out there that there needs to be, so that is upsetting. There's lots of postpartum doulas. There's night care nurses that can actually come to your house and help you through the night with your baby, because that stress level affects, again, hormones. Postpartum depression goes up, affects milk supply, affects everything. So I do like being a resource for that as well.
Yeah. As we're talking here, like I kind of feel like anyone who's trying to have a family should go to a functional fertility practitioner.
Yeah.
Make it a little more plain and simple for us. Like who are you speaking to right now?
Like besides everybody.
Besides the general everybody.
Yeah. So, you know, women who are wanting to avoid the traditional birth control.
Okay.
Women
so
who
that,
have.
That's a simple way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Women who have endometriosis, PCOS, any kind of conditions like that that's going to affect our hormone levels, we can approach it from this functional side of things. Mm. You know, young girls who are struggling with heavy cycles or irregular cycles or things like that, there's ways that we can look at that. Mm. You know, newly married who think, in the next year or two, we'd like to get pregnant and we want to know what we need to do to be healthy for that. Great situation. Planning conception within the next couple of months. Still come in and see me. Preconception counseling is really key. Couples who are already in that infertility journey, they've been trying to get pregnant and it's not happening and they're frustrated with that. Again, that's a lot of what I'm seeing now. And so that's a great patient population. Again, I'd love to catch you sooner than that. If you have friends that are even thinking about getting pregnant, there's so many things that we can do to set the body up for being healthier going into a pregnancy and giving your baby the best possible chances for being healthy and as possible.
Well, also, it's, you know, post-birth, a healthy mom, you know, like going into this next phase of life, you know, healthy is critical.
It is.
For everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's super interesting.
So getting those hormones balanced afterwards, getting everything regulated. And again, I'm not leaving the men out of this. Men,
agreed.
It's a big piece. You are, you know, half of the DNA going into that baby. We've got to make sure that we're protecting that as well.
Yeah, it's a shame because, you know, I knew we were talking about functional fertility today and still, like, I'm thinking this is
it's for the women.
It's for women. This is women's health, and it's,
yeah.
and it's clearly not. You
no,
know,
it's
functional
for,
fertility
it's for both.
Is for both men and women. It's for the whole process.
Yes.
So I'm so glad we talked about this today. I can like feel your passion around it. So thank you for bringing this up on Explain This.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any parting advice for the people watching?
We've got an Instagram page that you can follow as well that I'm constantly throwing tips out there. So we'll tag that in the description so you can check out our, it's Functional Fertility PM. You can check that out and look. But the biggest thing is if you feel like you're not getting the answers, if you feel like you're not being listened to, if things are not happening, find someone else.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be me. There's other functional fertility specialists out there, but find someone who looks at you as a whole picture. You're not just your reproductive organs and are those healthy or not. We need to look at everything that's going on with you, your whole lifestyle, to make sure that we are doing everything we can.
Guys, if you know somebody who is in this phase of life, male or female, send this video to them. Let them know that this type of care is out there. Robin, I just want to thank you. Thank you for this. This was awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Guys, you name it, we explain it. We'll be back next time.
Don't go away.
Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.